listeners, we are still continuing on the maturing of the body of Christ and bringing the body of Christ into the full maturity and the fullness of Christ so that they can complete the work God has given us on earth before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one has a work to accomplish on earth, and God wants to build us up, and God wants to train us and equip us and prepare us for the works of ministry so that he can use us in these end times to accomplish his will on earth through each and every believer. Each and every believer has a vital part in God's kingdom. You have been saved and brought into the kingdom of God, and you have a purpose to fulfill before the coming of Christ. And God wants to prepare each person, each vessel, and bring them to that maturity in Christ so that each person will reflect the glory of the risen Christ through their lives and carry out his works on earth. We are his representatives to carry out his work on earth. And God wants each believer to take heed to what he's saying in these end times so they can put themselves in a place so God can accomplish and fulfill his plans for their lives. Now, God's purpose is to change us and transform us into the image of Christ so we can reflect Christ to the world. As we become more like Christ, as we begin to walk in the Spirit, we are allowing the Holy Spirit to flow through our lives so that the Holy Spirit can accomplish those works he has for our lives through us. It is the Holy Spirit that will accomplish the work through us. We are not doing these works in our own flesh. We are doing these works empowered by the Spirit. That's what God wants the body of Christ to come into. Most of the time, up till now, most of the body of Christ, the works have been done mostly in their own ability. And God wants to bring us to a place that we will fully depend on the Holy Spirit and fully trust the Holy Spirit to complete the work through us. This is the reason God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit and be led of the Holy Spirit and to be walking in the truth as that truth has become part of our lives, that we have truth in the inward parts. And God is bringing the body of Christ to be those true worshipers that walk with God, being full of the Holy Spirit, being led of the Holy Spirit, and having truth in the inward parts. That means that truth has become their lifestyle. And this is how you grow into Christ. This is how you mature into Christ. It is a process. It takes time. Yet this is how you begin that walk, that process, to grow up into Christ and mature into Christ, into the fullness of God, into the knowledge and the stature of Christ, so that God can use you in these end times to be his vessel to touch this world. Now, God will give you the gifts that he has prepared for you, and God will anoint you and empower you and assist you and strengthen you and equip you and prepare you for your works of service as you totally give yourself to his word and being led of the Holy Spirit. God will accomplish the work through you. You don't have to struggle or strive to accomplish that work or figure it out how to do it. God knows how to do it. God knows how to accomplish it through you. All he's asking you is to surrender your will, to do his will, and to follow his plan. His plan is for you to be full of the Holy Spirit, to be led of the Holy Spirit, and walking in the truth as that truth has become a lifestyle, and you are seeking him daily for his will to be accomplished in and through your life. And your desire is to be changed and transformed to the image of Christ. Once a person gets born again, that should be their goal, and that should be their prayer, for God to change them and transform them to the image of Christ. That Christ be formed in them, that Christ be formed in them in such a way that others will begin to see Christ through their lives, because we are His representatives on earth. If we are going to represent Him on the earth, then we have to have His image and we have to reflect Him through our lives. In our actions, in our attitudes, the way we live, in our words, in the lifestyle that we live, we have to reflect Christ in every aspect. Little by little, God will change you and transform you to that image. As you put yourself to study and meditate the Word through the help of the Holy Spirit, so He can convey His thoughts and show you things in your life and help you to change and transform, then He will take that truth and He will give understanding and revelation how to apply that truth into your life so that your mind can be transformed. Once your mind gets transformed to have the mind of Christ, your mind begins to think like Christ. You will begin to have the mind of Christ. The Word says, be not be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. When your mind begins to get renewed through the Word and with the help of the Holy Spirit, as He speaks that Word into your heart, so you begin to understand the principles of God's Word, that you understand the commands, you understand His direction, His instructions in the Word, and you begin to apply those things, your mind is being transformed. The more your mind gets transformed, the more you will have the mind of Christ. You will begin to think like Christ. You will have His mind. Your mind is no longer conformed to the things of the world. You are not going to be thinking like your old man that used to be, but you are going to be thinking like Christ. You will begin to have the mind of Christ. As a result, your attitudes, your nature, your character, all those things will begin to change. Your characteristics you used to have will begin to change because your mind is being renewed and transformed by the Spirit of the living God. God wants to accomplish all these things in the life of the believers, and He's asking the believers to submit to His Word and to submit to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Word says, to be led of the Holy Spirit. Now, as I go into the Scriptures, God wants to make it clear to the body of Christ the difference between the flesh and the Spirit. We spoke this in my previous message, and this is a continuation of that message. We are continuing on in that same subject of distinguishing between the flesh and the Spirit. Since this has not been taught in the body of Christ that much, most of the body of Christ still do not know how to differentiate between the flesh and the Spirit. And God wants to make it clear for the believers. And He wants them to have a clear understanding and a keen insight to what the Spirit is and what is the flesh is. So you will know how to crucify the flesh and then walk in the Spirit. In order for us to know the difference between the flesh and the Spirit, we had to know the characteristics of the old sinful nature, the fleshly nature, and then we had to know the characteristics or the fruit of the new nature, which is the fruit of the Spirit. We discussed this from Galatians chapter 5 in my last message. Now, the question may be asked, where did the sinful nature come from? Did God create man with a sinful nature? Absolutely not. When God created Adam and Eve, they were perfect, and they were sinless, and they were created in the image of God. Therefore, they had the nature of God, which is love, and they were holy because God is holy. So where did this sinful nature come from? They received the sinful nature when they sinned. They received that nature from Satan. As a result of disobeying God, they opened themselves to Satan. When they sinned, they lost the nature of God. They received the nature of Satan. So every human being that comes into this world has that nature. And that's the reason we need to be born again. When we get born again, we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All nature dies. And then we receive the new nature, which is after God. The question is, where did this sinful nature come from? It came from Satan. Now, what is the basic characteristic of this sinful nature? Once we understand the basic characteristic, the underlying characteristic of the sinful nature, we will be able to detect the flesh whenever it shows up in us, so we can lay it down, so we can crucify it. So let's go to the scriptures and find the basic underlying characteristic of the sinful nature. The sinful nature came from Satan. So let's go to Isaiah chapter 14, starting from verse 12. It says, "How you have fallen from heaven, O morning star, son of the dawn." This is talking about Satan. He was called the morning star. "You have been cast down to the earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, 'I will ascend to heaven. I will ascend to heaven. I will raise my throne. I will raise my throne above the stars of God. I will raise my throne above the stars of God.'" He's talking about the angels of God. "I will sit enthroned on the mount of assembly, on the utmost heights of the sacred mountain." Verse 14. "I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. I will make myself like the Most High." Now, in these two verses here, we see five times the words, "I will, I will, I will, I will." It's not what God's will is, but it is Satan's will. What is that? It is self-centeredness and selfishness. It's what he wanted. It is that I and me and my syndrome. It's what I want. It's what is good for me. It is what I want to do. And it doesn't matter how it is going to affect others. It's my life. I can do whatever I want with it. Even if it's going to affect others in a negative way, even if it's going to cause others pain or sorrow, it doesn't matter. It's what I want. That is the basic characteristic of that sinful nature. That sinful nature will always say, "I will." It is self-centered. It is selfish. It is about me and not about others. That's that old selfish nature. That's what we call the sinful nature or the flesh. The flesh is always self-centered, is always selfish. As a result, there are byproducts of works or characteristics that come forth. For example, pride is a part of the selfish nature or the self-centered nature. Pride is one of the characteristics of that sinful nature. Arrogance is part of that sinful nature. Envy and jealousy, resentment, bitterness, unforgiveness, maliciousness, all that comes from that old sinful nature, which is self-centered and selfish. When we begin to understand the basic characteristic of that old nature, you know when you are self-centered. You know when you are acting selfish. Nobody had to tell you that you are selfish or self-centered. If you are really honest with yourself, you can judge your own actions and know the motives behind your actions. And the more you recognize that selfishness, that self-centeredness in your life, you will shun it. If you are a born-again believer, you will shun it because you will have no desire for it. you come to a place you will abhor it, you will hate it. Your prayer will be, God, change me and remove that through the precious blood of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remove the selfishness, remove the self-centeredness, remove that all that old sinful nature, and help me and show me so I can crucify it and so I can walk in the Spirit. A person that is truly born again, that will be their cry, that will be their desire, because they do not want to continue in that old sinful nature. Let's go and read more scriptures. I want to turn to Ephesians 4, starting from 17 through 32. Ephesians 4, 17. So I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, and separated from the life of God, because of ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. Now that is the old nature. It has a continual lust for more. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, pride of life. Because it is based on selfishness and self-centeredness, it wants more for themselves. That is the nature that drives the sinner. Then verse 20, it says, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. The Holy Spirit is saying, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. When you were born again, you were made to be a new creation. That new creation has a completely different nature now. That nature is after God, God's nature. No longer that selfish, self-centered nature, it is now God's nature. A selfless nature that always desires God's will and not their own will. A nature that desires to do God's will. In the old nature, the desire was to do their will. Just like Satan, when he chose to say that he will ascend to heaven, he will lift up his throne above the stars of God. When he chose that, he chose his own will over God's will for his life. He was created by God. He was given a place of great authority and beauty and wisdom. But yet, he chose to reject all that. And he chose his own will. That's what Adam and Eve received when they sinned. As a result, that nature came upon the entire human race. So we seek to do our own will and not God's will. And the scripture says in Ephesians 4:20, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. Because once you get born again, that nature is changed. 21. For surely you heard of him and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. There is a great contrast between this new nature and the old nature. And the scripture is instructing us, saying to put off your old self. Put off your old self. How do I put off my old self? By crucifying it daily. Whenever I see things I know is surfacing from that old nature of self-centeredness or selfishness, things like pride, or anything that I know that is not of the new nature, then I am to crucify it. Whenever I see that old nature, things from the old nature, that surface in my life, I am to crucify it. I am to put it off. I have to put it off. It doesn't say God will take it away from me. It says, I am to put it off. I am to crucify it. Now, he's not going to do what I'm supposed to do. If God instructs me to put it off, then I am to put it off. He will not do anything that he has instructed us for us to do. That is our responsibility to do it. When we do it and when we obey that instruction in the word, then comes the change. But not until then. We have to obey and follow the instruction. When we follow the instruction, then comes the change. The Holy Spirit brings the change, but we have to obey the instruction. So it says, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. God wants you to be made new in the attitude of your minds. Why? So we begin to think like Christ, not like the old self. Not like that old self-centered, selfish self. If that old self was prideful and arrogant, now in the new self, you are to have the same humility of Christ. You are to humble yourself. You are to crucify the pride and the arrogance whenever you see it and put it off, and you are to walk in the humility of Christ. You are to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and walk in humility. If you are a person that is full of anger and rage, you are to put that off, and you are to walk in patience and kindness. If you are a person that was bitter and unforgiving and resentful, you are to put that off. You are to be a forgiving person that is quick to forgive others and walk in love, not taking into account any wrong done to you, but walk in love towards those that have wronged you. This is how you put off the old self and put on the new man. Verse 24, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. To be made new in the attitude of your minds. Our attitudes of our minds has to be changed. Our minds has to be renewed and transformed to think like Christ. If I am to have the humility of Christ, I need to think like Christ. If I am to walk in the same forgiving nature of Christ, I'm to think like Christ. I have to have the mind of Christ. Our minds have to have a different attitude. The more we put off that old man, that selfish, self-centered man, the more we begin to think like Christ. And then it says, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. The new nature is created like God in true righteousness and holiness. Now, when you begin to walk in the Spirit, the more you crucify the flesh and more you walk in the Spirit, you will begin to see the true righteousness, the righteous character of God. You begin to love doing what is right at all times, because God always does right at all times. And you begin to see that same righteousness surfacing in your life and true holiness. God is holy. He said, be ye holy even as I am holy. So the more you walk in the Spirit, you will begin to see true righteousness and holiness surfacing in your life. Those characteristics will begin to show forth and begin to flow out of your life. You begin to walk in that and people begin to see that you are a righteous person and you are holy. That is becoming a lifestyle. You are walking a righteous life. You are doing what is right at all times. And you are walking in holiness. And people will begin to see that, because it shows out on the outside. It begins in the inside, in your heart, but it will begin to show up on the outside because it is a lifestyle. So you are beginning to walk that lifestyle. So you become a righteous person walking in the righteousness. When you get saved, he imparts to you his righteousness. But you have to learn to put off that old man that did not want to walk in righteousness. You have to put that old man off and then begin to walk in the Spirit. And the more you do it, you begin to walk in that righteousness you receive from the Lord Jesus Christ and his holiness. This is very simple. The way we do it, by recognizing the old man, laying it down and crucifying it and walking in the Spirit. The more you do it, the more you become like Christ. It's very easy. Then continue on, 29, it says, therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor. These are things that we can apply into our lives. If you are a person that you walked in falsehood, falsehood can be not only lying, but it could be pretentious. You could have been a pretentious person. Being pretentious is falsehood. You're trying to be somebody you're not. You are trying to pretend and show to others something you're not. And your dealings were not truthful. Your intentions were not right. These are all falsehood. This all comes under being false. So he says, put that all that off and speak truthfully to his neighbor. Be truthful to your neighbor, the people that you deal with. Be truthful. Don't try to pretend. Don't try to lie. Don't try to manipulate. All that is falsehood. Manipulation is also a falsehood. But be truthful to your neighbor, to those that you deal with. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Whenever you get angry, he says, do not sin. Don't say things in anger that you will regret later on. Hold your tongue when you're angry. Do not lash out. Do not do things in anger that you will be sorry afterwards. And he says, and do not retain that anger until the sun goes down. He said, before the sun goes down, get rid of it. Put aside that old man. Put that anger off. Let it go. Forgive. Walk in love. Walk in patience and kindness. 27, it says, and do not give the devil a foothold. When you do not let anger take over you and control you, you are not giving the devil a foothold. When you are dealing truthfully with your neighbor, you are not giving the devil a foothold. When you are walking in humility and not pride and arrogance, you are not giving the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. See the contrast? In the old self, the person used to steal. But the new man, not only he doesn't want to steal, God is taking them even a step further. He's saying, now work so that you will have something to share with others. Instead of stealing from others, now go and get a job. Work with your hands so that you will not only have for yourself, so that you will have to give to others. See the contrast of the new man? He's not no longer thinking about himself. Thinking about others. Then verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Anything unwholesome. He said, do not let it come out. He said, but whenever you speak, whatever you say, make sure that it will be helpful for building others up according to their needs. He said, be careful with your words. People said things, whatever they want to say. It didn't even matter if the other person get hurt or wounded or cause any kind of strife or sorrow. But in the new man, he says, you're not to do that. You put off that old man. But in the new man, in the spirit, you will say things. Even you use your words to help others in building up others according to their needs. So use your words to build up others according to the needs they have. So your words will benefit others. Your words are not to cause pain and sorrow and grief to others. Your words are to be a blessing. So it will be a benefit to those who listen. Verse 30, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Verse 31. Get rid of all bitterness. Now these are from the old sinful man. He said, put it off. And verse 31, he says, get rid of it. He says, get rid of these things. He said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Now these are all the byproducts of that old sinful man, the works of the old sinful man that came from that selfish self-centered, all sinful man. He said, get rid of it. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. Because that old self-centered, selfish man was a malicious man. Be kind and compassionate to one another, rather than being malicious and bitter and unforgiving and slanderous and angry. He said, now, in the new man, put on the new man. That's what he said. Put on the new man. In that new man, he said, be kind. Now be kind. That's how you put on the new man. You say, now you be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. He said, put off the old man, and now you put on the new man. And this is how you put him on. You put off all bitterness, unforgiveness, rage, anger, malice, but then you put on being kind and compassionate and forgiving one another. That's how you put on the new man. That's how you walk in the Spirit. Let's go to Colossians 3, 1 through 14. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. For you died. When you accepted Jesus Christ, your old man died. And your life now is hidden with Christ in God. Your new life, your born again new nature, is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Verse 5. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Because your old nature died, you have been freed from that old nature. If you are dead to that old life, then you are freed. You are free from that old life. So therefore, he's saying, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. He said, now, put to death whatever belongs to that earthly nature. What is that nature? The selfish, self-centered, fleshly, carnal nature, which is called the sinful nature. So he's saying, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. How do we put to death? By crucifying it. And it continues on, it says, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. But now you must rid yourself of all such things. Of all such things. You must rid yourself. God is not going to get rid of it for you. You have to rid yourself from these. Going back to verse 8, it says, but now you must rid yourself of all such things as these. And he's naming those things. You must get rid of anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You have put on the new self, the new man, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Day by day, as you spend the time in the Word with the Holy Spirit, your mind is being renewed in the knowledge of your creator. Now, going down to verse 12, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion. Now, he's telling us to put off and get rid of certain things that came from the old man. Now, he's saying, clothe yourself. Now, this is how you put on the new man, the new self. Clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. This is how you walk in the Spirit. When you begin to do this, and you begin to clothe yourself with these fruit of the Spirit, these characteristics of the Spirit, you begin to walk in the Spirit. This is how you walk in the Spirit. You put on, you clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with each other and forgiving each other. This is how you walk in the Spirit. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8, starting from verse 3. It is God's will that you should be sanctified. It's God's will that you should be sanctified. The word sanctified means separated. He wants us to be separated unto Him. That you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God, and that in this matter no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins, as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects these instructions does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. So God is instructing the believers to be sanctified, to be set apart from all impurity of the flesh and the spirit. And he says, if anybody rejects these instructions, he's not rejecting man, he's rejecting God, who has given us the Holy Spirit. We are to learn to control our own bodies in a way that is holy and honorable. We are to conduct ourselves in a way that is holy and honorable and to be set apart. So our conduct will not bring reproach to Christ, and it will not be a stumbling block for somebody else. And this is how we walk in the Spirit. It is no longer after that old self-centered nature. The old self-centered nature didn't care how it affected others. But in the new man, it's different. You want to be set apart to God. You want to be holy. And you want to be honorable before God and before man. Then let's go to James 3, 13 through 18. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? He's asking a question. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. He says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life. If you are wise and understanding, you will show it by your actions, by your deeds, by your good life you live. By deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. Humility comes from wisdom, God's wisdom. Humility comes from God's wisdom. Verse 14. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. He's saying, but if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. He said, do not cover it up and make excuses and deny that, saying you don't have it. Because God knows your heart. He knows what's in your heart. You can deny all you want, but God knows your heart. And he will call you a liar. And the scripture is saying, if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambitions in your heart, do not boast about it or deny. He said, don't cover it up, don't make excuses, don't pretend as you don't have it. What you have to do is you have to confess and you have to crucify those works. You have to crucify bitter envy, selfish ambition. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. This is that corrupt wisdom of the devil. A person that is walking in envy and jealousy and selfish ambition, this wisdom is not from God. God's wisdom brings about humility. Corrupt wisdom of Satan is what brings about envy, jealousy, and selfish ambition. So when you see selfish ambition, envy, and jealousy in the body of Christ, it is not from God. It is not from people that are walking in the Spirit. It is people that are walking in the flesh. It is from that old sinful nature. the self-centered, selfish nature. See, you can now begin to keenly be aware of what is the flesh and what is the spirit. And this is what God wants to bring the body of Christ into. He wants the people to be keenly aware of what is coming out of the spirit and what is coming out of the flesh. So when you see those fleshly works, you can crucify it. You can crucify the bitter envy and confess it before the Lord and ask Him to cleanse you from that. The selfish ambition, He can cleanse you from that. His precious blood has the power to cleanse you. But you have to know that you have it, and you have to be truthful and confess it, and you remove it. So you can walk in the true wisdom of God, which is humble and pure. So He says, and this wisdom that harbors bitter envy and selfish ambition is not of God. He says, such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. Why? Because it is of Satan. It does not come from God. It does not come from heaven. It comes from that earthly, unspiritual, fleshly nature, which is after the devil. Now, let me take you real quickly to Ezekiel 28. I'm going to read 15 through 17, what the scripture says about Satan. It says, you were blameless in your ways. This is talking about Satan. From the day you were created till wickedness was found in you. Verse 17. Your heart became proud on account of your beauty, and you corrupted your wisdom because of your splendor. So I threw you to the earth. Going back and reading verse 17. It says, your heart became proud on account of your beauty. Satan was created to be a beautiful guardian cherub. And his heart became prideful because of his beauty. And he said he corrupted his wisdom because of his splendor. The splendor that God gave him at his creation, when he was created, because of that splendor, he corrupted his wisdom. So that is that wisdom that here in James is talking about. That corrupt, earthly, unspiritual wisdom which is devilish, which is from the devil. That's what it says. Which is of the devil. That corrupted wisdom, that twisted wisdom. It's corrupt, it's twisted. It happened to him because he became prideful. And that's the reason he says, for where you have envy and selfish ambition, there is going to be disorder and every evil practice. Of course, wherever Satan is, wherever he's going to be ruling, there's going to be disorder, every evil practice. Then verse 17 he says, but, now this is the difference and the contrast when you walk in the Spirit, when you walk in God's wisdom. When you walk in the Spirit, you also walk in God's wisdom. And this is how God's wisdom look like when you walk in the Spirit. And it will look like this. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. It is pure. It is not defiled with pride. It is not defiled with selfish ambition. It is not defiled with envy and bitterness. All those things defile, but it is pure. The wisdom that comes from God is pure, just as God is pure. His wisdom is pure, uncorrupted. Then peace-loving. It loves peace. It doesn't cause disorder and confusion and evil practices. It's peaceful. It's peace-loving. It wants to maintain peace. Considerate. This wisdom is always considerate. When you're walking in the Spirit, when you're walking in the wisdom of God, that person is always considerate of others because it's not about them, it's about others. They are not led of the old selfish, self-centered nature. They are led of the Spirit of God, which is selfless. So they are considerate. They put others first. They are submissive, full of mercy, full of God's mercy. They love to extend mercy, God's mercy to others. And good fruit. They are full of good fruit. They are impartial and they are sincere. They are not fake, they are not superficial, but they are sincere. So you can see the contrast between when you walk in the flesh, wisdom that comes as a result of that, that corrupt wisdom of Satan, and then you begin to see the difference how it is when you walk in the Spirit, when you walk in the wisdom of God, and the fruit that comes out of that wisdom. Now I want to turn to Romans 5, starting from 9. It says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? We have been justified by the blood of Jesus. That means you and I, when we accepted Jesus Christ, God removed that sin from our lives. And at that moment, that we became as though we never sinned. We are justified by his blood. That means his blood removed that sin, and it is as though we never sinned. That's what the word justified means. As though we never even sinned. That's the power of the blood of Jesus. He removes our sins in such a way there is no trace of it left. So we are justified, just as though we never sinned. That's how God sees us when he looks at us. We are justified by his blood. He said, now continue that walk by walking in the Spirit. You have been made free from sin, so you can walk that walk. Let's read Romans 6, starting from 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? He says, how can anybody say that we can go on sinning so that grace may increase? He said, just because you have been saved by grace through faith, doesn't mean that you can continue in sin or continue in that old life. That is not an excuse. Just because you were saved by grace through faith is not an excuse to continue to live in that old sinful nature. That's what he's saying. He said, we died to sin. So how can you live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? When we got born again, we were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Did you hear that? Let me go back and read this. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We too may live a new life. That is the purpose of God. That is the reason that he freed us from our sins, so we can live a new life in the Spirit. Not the old one after the flesh, but a new one after the Spirit, a new life. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Then verse 6, for we know that our old self was crucified with him. When we accept Jesus Christ, our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Anyone who has died has been freed from sin. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you were freed from sin. You are no longer that old sinner. You are free from sin. We have been freed so that old nature has no control over us. Before you got born again, that old nature controlled you. People that are not saved, their sinful nature is controlling them. They are not free from it. They are not free from sin. Sin is controlling them. But when you accept Jesus Christ, that control has been destroyed from your life. So you are no longer under that control. That's the reason now we can crucify the old man. We have the power to crucify the old man. We have the power to put aside that old man. We have the power to walk in the Spirit. An unbeliever does not have that power. They are still controlled by sin. They are still under the power of sin. But as believers, we are free from sin because of what Jesus did on the cross through his shed blood. Then going down to verse 12, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body. Why? Sin has no power over you. You are dead to that sin. So do not let it have any reign over you. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God as those who have been brought from death to life. Now you offer your parts of your body to God as those that have been brought from death to life. We have been brought from death to life through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and offer the parts of your body to Him as instruments of righteousness. As instruments of righteousness. Not wickedness, not impurity, but righteousness. For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law, but under grace. Sin shall not be your master, because you are under grace. Grace is not given to us for an excuse for sin. Grace is not given to us so that people can continue in sin. Grace is given to us so that we can live a life free of sin, free of the flesh, so we can walk in the Spirit. That's what the grace of God was given. That's why we have grace, so that through the grace of God, we can receive the faith and the strength and everything we need to walk in the Spirit, walk that life in the Spirit. And then going to verse 18 through 26, it says, "You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness." We have been set free from sin, and now we have become slaves to righteousness. While we were unbelievers, we were slaves to sin. Now we have been freed from sin through faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have been made, or we have become, slaves to righteousness. We are no longer slaves to sin. We are slaves to righteousness, to do what is right, just like God. I put this in human terms because you are weak in your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, so now offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. No longer to that old sinful ways, but now you offer your body, to every member of your body, giving yourself to walk in righteousness leading to holiness. When you begin to walk in God's righteousness, it will lead to holiness, because you begin to walk a pure and a blameless life before God. Verse 20, "When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the controls of righteousness." When we were slaves to sin, we were free from the control of righteousness, because righteousness did not control us, sin controlled us. "What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death. All life result in death. But now that you have been set free from sin, you have become slaves to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness and result in eternal life." Going back to verse 22, it says, "But now that you have been set free from sin," the scripture is speaking over and over. The Holy Spirit is speaking over and over through this scripture, saying, "You have been set free from sin. You should not see yourself as a sinner. You have been set free. Those sinful desires you have in your flesh, you have been set free. What you have to do now is to put them off, crucify them. You have been set free from sin. You are no longer a slave to sin, but you have become a slave to God. So if you are a person that you continue to see yourself as a sinner and you are born again, then you need to renew your mind, because the scripture says you are no longer a slave to sin. You have been freed. But now he says you are a slave to God. You are a slave to God. The benefit you reap leads to holiness and the result in eternal life. The benefit you reap, giving yourself as a slave to God in walking in righteousness and true holiness, is eternal life. And verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." So the Holy Spirit wants the body of Christ to come to a place of truly understanding the difference between the flesh and the Spirit, so that they can put off the works of the flesh and walk in the Spirit, so that He can bring them to their place of maturity, so He can bring them to the place of being true worshippers of God. because we worship God in spirit and in truth. The more you walk in the spirit, more of the truth you are walking in. And you are being brought to a place that you begin to have a close and intimate relationship with the Lord. But as long as you are in the flesh, you cannot come to that place. God wants each believer to become a true worshiper of God, worship Him in spirit and in truth, so that He can reveal Himself to His children and show His attributes, His goodness, His kindness, and bless them and raise them up to be everything that God has intended them to be and created them and saved them to be. But as long as the Christians are walking in the flesh, they cannot come into that place. And this is the reason God wants people to pay attention and take heed to what the Holy Spirit is saying through the scriptures and learn how to crucify the flesh, to put off the old man and begin to walk in the Spirit. And as you do, you will be brought into a place of maturity and great fruitfulness in your life. You will be fruitful and you will bear much fruit to glorify God. And this is where God wants to bring the body of Christ in these end times. Amen.